This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and welcome to the Ross Report Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, March 20th here at Gillette Stadium?
21st.
Thank you, Eric. What's going on over here? A lot of things going on.
How's your Good Friday going?
It's a great Friday. We have Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, and Andy Hart giving you all the latest with the roster.
It's such a great Friday.
Do you know what day it is, Laura?
I do now.
Okay. Excellent.
A lot of show prep, huh?
Well done.
Good thing we got a podcast manager in Lori Baranski. We'd be lost without her. Anyway, we have one, I guess we'll call it, in light of the NCAA tournament, a mid-major move from the Patriots this week. Cornerback Fernando Bryant signed.
Coming to the dance?
Sure, if you want to go with that. Bryant, 30, is a veteran of 9 NFL seasons with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Detroit Lions. 5'10", 184. Bill Belichick, in the release announcing the signing, said, adding a cornerback with Fernando's experience and production is a good opportunity for us. Mm. And I agree with him because I think he goes to the front of the list. And, you know, in assumptions, off-season assumptions, I assume he's the starter opposite Ellis Hobbs right now unless he loses the job.
Yeah, and the only thing that's a concern here with Bryant is the health. And you brought it up on our PFW in progress yesterday,
yes.
Andy. You know, I don't really think Detroit necessarily wanted to get rid of him, and it certainly wasn't necessarily a cap.
He had a $4 million cap number, 3.35 salary, and a $600,000 bonus.
So that's not a really high number, especially now.
Marquee.
You know, I mean, with the cap had gone up as much as it has. That's not a huge number. So
left them when they cut him. They had one restricted free agent corner on the roster.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it was more to do with the health situation, and there are some questions and concerns about that. But overall, Bryant has been an NFL corner, starting caliber NFL corner
his whole career for
9 years. He was a first round pick out of Alabama, played with Jacksonville. So we also mentioned yesterday. Dom Capers, there's a connection there. He played a couple of years with Capers as his defensive coordinator with the Jags. I think this is a good move for the Patriots, provided that he's healthy enough to help out. I think he is the best of these, you know, to continue Andy's theme, the mid-major signings that they've made.
We should say he did play in all 16 games a year ago, tied a career high with two interceptions, but battled a foot injury all year long, and that was his healthiest season in Detroit. Three years, I believe. Played in only 22 games, battled injuries all the way along. A lot of experience. He's a former first-round pick. Where's his games played? 109 starts in the NFL. That's a lot of games.
And out of 110 or something like that?
He's been pretty reliable, pretty consistent in that starting lineup. So
Bill Belichick, veteran-type player.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Right now, he's the odds-on favorite, I would say, to start with Ellis Hobbs.
And the rest of those guys, the... Lewis Sanders and all those other guys they've signed are sort of battling to fall into line. We've talked about Brandon Merriweather. Could be the dark horse there maybe for a starter opposite Hobbs. And then we assume, I think, that a first day or first three round picks will go on a cornerback. So there'll be a little more competition there as we move into April. But I do think Fernando Bryant is at the head of the line right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. One of the guys I think we liked in camp last year, who obviously you didn't hear from because he went on injured reserve, was Mike Richardson out of Notre Dame.
Indeed.
He's a guy that I think we should probably pay a little bit of attention to this offseason into training camp, because even though they're probably going to, like you said, they're probably going to draft someone, and they've brought three veterans in through free agency. But, you know, when he did play last year, he did show that he had some ability. So that he might be a guy that's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I think he's a guy. I don't think he has...
Maybe not as
the
a
NFL
starter,
skill set necessarily. I think he's a pretty smart player. I think he has decent instincts, can be around the ball a little bit, more of a third, fourth cornerback type. Yep. I don't think you ever foresee projecting him as a starter in the NFL. I remember talking to his position coach or defensive coordinator at Notre Dame when they drafted him to do the story, and he liked him, loved him, but was pretty honest in saying he doesn't have that, you know, first, second-round pick, starter in the NFL-type skill set. So, yeah, he is a guy to keep an eye on, and I'm guessing the cornerback position, you know, as I said, as we move forward, they add a couple more bodies, will be one of the more interesting ones to watch in training camp because there are a lot of roles to be won there.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like Bill is going about it the same way he has in the recent past with the quantity over quality.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'm just saying he's flooding it with a lot of different bodies in the hopes of getting a few that pan out for him. And we've gone over the list of, you know, the usual suspects recently. Some of them have panned out. Some of them haven't. You know, you go back to, you know, the Otis Smiths and Tyrone Pools and you know, who worked out and stuck around. And then you have the Dwayne Starks and Eric Warfields and Torrey Jameses that didn't work out. So we'll see where Jason Webster, Lewis Sanders, and now Fernando Bryant fit into that mix.
As Paul Perillo is wont to say, I'd be remiss talking about cornerbacks and not mentioning one, Adam Pac-Man Jones,
whose
representative slash lawyer was quoted in the Boston Herald today saying that Pac-Man would love to come to New England, thinks he'd be a perfect place for him with the leadership and the winning. He used the old cliche that winning, you know, cures all pretty much. And then the story sort of referenced how the Patriots have done it with Moss and Corey Dillon, and I thought unfairly lumped Rodney Harrison in there. But
ridiculously unfairly.
Pac-Man Jones wants to play, but it sounds like the front runner, based on all published reports, the Dallas Cowboys. Tom Casale not here today, but it looks like his team is most interested, has already had preliminary trade talks. We've discussed it a little bit in the past, but guys, just discuss, you know, if you have any desire to see Adam Pac-Man Jones wear a Patriots uniform.
Personally, I think that's a hard sell to make, to try to bring a guy like that in, but especially when, you know, we're not talking about, I think we've talked about this before, we're not talking about a Deion Sanders caliber corner where, you know, you bring the guy in, he's guaranteed he's going to be a starter, he might even be an all-pro. There's no guarantees. A very, you know, he's a decent corner, he's a very good return man.
And a very talented athlete.
Absolutely. A little bit on the smaller side, you know, he's not a huge guy, but most corners aren't anyway. So, the trade-off for what you're getting, for what you could potentially get off the
field.
It's
not a Randy Moss, where you're getting a Hall of Fame receiver.
Right.
And I would say not only is the upside not as great, the downside is way greater.
Much.
You know, this guy was involved in shootings and strip clubs and guys being paralyzed,
right.
Physical altercations.
Yeah.
The Moss downside was,
he was
I don't play hard
a little
every
bit,
play. And, you know,
right.
Kind of being a baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, too. You know, the representative, Pac-Man's representative that was quoted in that Herald piece that Andy alluded to mentioned that, you know, winning cures all of that, and no one wants to disrupt the apple cart when teams are winning.
Mm-hmm. He's a rotten apple.
But that's not the point, because no one's is suggesting. I don't know if anybody in Tennessee thought that this guy was a bad locker room presence or was disrupting. I mean, yeah, I agree with you that not many people in a winning locker room are going to voice their displeasures and disrupt a winning locker room. That's not been Pac-Man Jones's problem.
Right.
His problem is staying out of jail.
Right. Staying out of handcuffs and orange jumpsuits.
So, you know, I really don't think winning or losing or anywhere in between has anything to do with that. The Tennessee, you know, had a decent team the last year he played, and then they were a playoff team last year when he didn't play. I don't really think that really has anything to do with Pac-Man Jones. He's one of those guys that finds trouble.
And he's had a year off from football, which shouldn't be discounted.
Not good for the development of a young corner.
Not good for the development of a player.
Let's be honest. I don't expect that he was in the gym 6 or 7 days a week for 5 hours working out, training. No.
He wasn't making it rain in the gym?
He might have been somewhere 6 or 7 days a week and spending a lot of time, but I don't think it was a gym. It's probably a strip club. Anyway,
on that note,
strip clubs.
Back to you.
I'm just kidding, Lori. Do you have an orange jumpsuit?
No. God. Well, thank you anyway, guys. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest information. Join us again next week for a brand new Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
So ridiculous.